It has been a little while. It has been a little while since we have gotten together to talk hockey, but here we are, back again. NHL trade deadline 2019, the eve of the big day here, Monday afternoon, I should say, at 3 p.m., and we got ourselves a live hockey talk show. Huh? How's about that? Let's do this. I definitely missed you guys. Definitely missed you guys for sure. But it's nice to be back here, and it's nice to be talking hockey. We got the chat up here on YouTube. We've got the Facebook page going. Anything you want to know about the trade deadline, we're all over it here on the Hockey Talk Show. Lots to talk about. Lots that's actually happening right now as we speak. Matt Zuccarello. At the time of recording this, it is 5:25 on a Sunday evening. Matt Zuccarello, there he is. Take a look at him if you're watching the show and not listening to the podcast. He's got the uniform on. He's looking good. About 5 or 10 minutes ago, takes a slap shot to the inside of the knee. He is out for the rest of the game for the Dallas Stars. So that's some breaking news for you here on the eve of this hockey talk show. Matt Zuccarello out for the game. I don't know if he comes back. We'll see what happens. But this certainly does change the landscape, especially for the Dallas Stars, at least, on if they're going to be more active and make any other moves. We'll have to wait and see. How about them Columbus Blue Jackets, though? I mean, for reals. These guys coming out of the woodworks, making not one but two moves yesterday with the Ottawa Senators, grabbing Dzingel and Matt Duchene. So Matt Duchene is off the trading block. Thank God. Thank God that's been settled, at least for a little while. I had Islander fans writing me like crazy, like, do you think we should get Duchene? Do you think we should get Duchene? No. That was my answer. Islander fans, you're not going to like what I have to say to you anyway today, so we'll maybe save that towards the end a little bit. Let me say hi to the people that are already in the chat room. AK, what's up, Austin? How are you? I am back, and it's good to be back. Like Mike Fisher, I show up just in time for the trade deadline. I am coming back Mike Fisher style tonight here. AK, how about the Miles? They're doing great. First in the Metro, killing it, doing better than the Washington Capitals. Barry Trotz's former team, they're doing better than the Toronto Maple Leafs. John Tavares's current team, are they still above the, I think they are still above the Leafs, right? Leafs have 78 points, Islanders have 79, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's good to be an Islander fan right now. You're super excited. Let's see here. Rob, how are you? Good to see you guys. What's up, Liz? I did not see Henrik Lundqvist's reaction to the Zuccarello trade after the game today. No. Can you fill me in on what he said? I would love to know that. I have some thoughts on King Lundqvist. Aaron, AK, how's everybody doing? All right, let's get into some of the things that we know are going on right now. So Zuccarello getting hurt, that is a big deal. Let's see if Dallas stays active and pulls the Columbus Blue Jackets here and makes more than one move. I also want to mention this because it'll seg into our next big trade topic. The Adidas people, I continue to love them. They pulled out some of the absolute best uniforms for the outdoor game in Pittsburgh yesterday. And here's what I love about Adidas. They were like, look, NHL, we've conquered the uniform. We've now like to take over the helmets. And that is exactly what they did. Because if you watched the game last night, Adidas enlarged the helmets of the Penguins and the Flyers for the game yesterday. And they looked awesome. They really, really looked amazing to me. I think it was a great look. Something new for the league. Something non-traditional. Put the logos in those big, big, sort of enlarged spaces on the side of the helmet, which will help if you've ever been to a stadium game, and I have been. It's you don't really realize how far away you are from the action. But you can be pretty far at times. So it was kind of cool to see that done, because in stadium it'll help. If you notice, too, on the stadium jerseys, the numbers are always bigger, especially the ones on the arms. and you can kind of see it right there. If you're watching this, if you're listening on the podcast, you can check it all out at the Hockey Talk Show website, hockeytalkshow.com. Make sure you guys follow Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. See all the photos and the visuals to go along with the podcast if you're listening via podcast. By the way, the numbers on the podcast have been so great, even though we haven't been around for a little while. They had to take a break, but we're happy to be back. So the Flyers and the Penguins, it was a nice little game, fun to see. They did great, and I bring it up because of this gentleman right here, Wayne Simmonds, definitely on the block. John Shannon reporting, I think, first. I'm not entirely sure, though, but everybody else kind of following suit. They gave him the helmet. It's sort of their championship belt, their, you know, player of the game thing over there in Philly. They give him the helmet because all signs point to he will no longer be a Flyer. That the outdoor game was his last game. And by the way, what a game to go out on. I mean, to be, you know, to do the outdoor thing and to play the way the Flyers played and come in and get the win. I mean, massive. Massive. It's a good way to go out. It's a good curtain call. And good on Wayne Simmonds, who, by the way, I looked up, is making less than $4 million a year. He sort of signed in that weird time where the cap was so low and there really wasn't a lot to go around. And the Flyers were able to use this guy, who is, by all accounts, at least a 25-goal scorer, 30 on the good years and a few of them. And he's been making less than $4 million for the last couple of years. So Wayne Simmonds deserves to cash some checks. And I think he's going to in the offseason. I do think he'll be moved. I do think that he is going to be one of the most sought-after commodities. Because although the traditional media is painting Mark Stone like the next Jesus Christ, I think this guy is the guy to go after. I like Mark Stone. I like his game on both ends. He doesn't have the grit that a Wayne Simmonds does. A lot of people weren't really necessarily thinking that Wayne Simmonds was going to be available. So that's why if you look at most of the lists that are out there right now, and again, this is the problem with traditional media, they can't be as versatile as, say, someone like us here on the Hockey Talk Show, where we can look at this now at 5:30 day before trade deadline and go, no, this guy is the most prized possession. Especially, because Wayne Simmonds doesn't have one major thing going against him, and that's an owner named Eugene Melnyk. Eugene Melnyk has been devastating for the Ottawa Senators. He has been holding up a lot of deals, up to and including Mark Stone. I think they want to try and get Mark Stone signed and done. I think they're trying to make it happen. I don't know why, for the life of me, anybody would want to stay with the Ottawa Senators, but it seems like Mark Stone kind of does. I think that he'll hold it up. I think Mark Stone will hold up a lot of the deals that are going to happen on trade deadline day. And I think that some of the smarter GMs are going to say, you know what, to hell with this. I'm not going to deal with Eugene Melnyk and Pierre Dorion. I'm going to go out and get Wayne Simmonds because he's going to be just as good, if not better, for me during the playoffs. Now, where the hell does Wayne Simmonds go? I honestly don't know. I don't think it makes sense for the Toronto Maple Leafs, although the Toronto media wants you to think that he's going there, without a doubt. I just don't see that happening. I don't know if the Islanders go out and get him. Let me, because I could already see it in the chat a little bit. Let me put the Islander thing to rest. Who do I think the Islanders should get at the trade deadline? Nobody. Absolutely nobody. I am of the school of thought of don't mess with this team's chemistry whatsoever. This team got you to 79 points, first place, for a large majority of the year. This is a team that all the individual parts do not excite anybody, with the exception of Anders Lee and Matthew Barzell and Pulak and Devontae. There's glimmers of hope in there, but for the most part, this is a team as much as the team has ever been a team. And chemistry becomes the most important part of these scenarios. So would I go out there and I get a depth player to come and fill in if need be? Sure. Even though I have Andrew Ladd waiting in the wings, even though I have Joshua Hosang waiting in the wings, you want to add a depth player? Fine. Absolutely. But for the most part, stay where you are. Don't overpay. I can't see Lou Lamoriello overpaying. I especially can't see Lou Lamoriello overpaying in the first year of a team where he's just getting his footing and getting everything together, and now he could start making his own picks and making his own moves. I don't see him mortgaging any of that for a rental player. I just don't see it happening. Maybe making a deal and maybe making an upgrade in certain areas where you can bring somebody in and sign them long term. You want to trade for Simmons, you want to trade for Stone and ink them right away? Fine. That's one thing, you know? You want to sit here and tell me Anthony Beauvillier doesn't have it and they want to go stronger? I don't think, you know, they do have one slot. The Islanders do have one slot. The slot that's been occupied by Dal Cole and now Kunockel and most likely Ladd when he comes back. I'm not a big Ladd fan. He could be good. You never know. But again, the Islanders, I don't just see them in a place where they need to make a move. Like the Toronto Maple Leafs really could use a defenseman outside of the Muzzin acquisition. I think that that can, that they definitely need that. I definitely can see, you know, that sort of thing happening. Columbus needed to make some moves to have insurance for Panarin's eventual, you know, for him eventually exiting. Needed to happen. You know, some of those things needed to be done. The Islanders, I just see a team that I really wouldn't do anything. I stay pat if I'm the Isles. I stay pat if I'm Mark Bergevin. Same thing there. I don't really need anything. I'm cruising along. If I'm the Montreal Canadiens, I'm not guaranteed a spot. I could definitely miss. It certainly would make sense to add. But again, even with the Canadiens, you know, you got some things going on there that you don't necessarily need to jump on it all right away. You know? So that's my thought on the Islanders. That's my thought on Wayne Simmons. I will say this, though. I think we're going to see some fireworks tonight and into tomorrow. I really think we're going to see some things happening. Zuccarello going down, Simmons being added to the mix late and being available now all of a sudden. You know, you have this, like, just logjam in the East between Montreal, Carolina, Pittsburgh. I mean, you could even say Buffalo is still in it if they get hot. I don't think so, but they can be. You got some teams that are going to be desperate to make moves. The wild card looks so great. You know, you got Dallas at 65 points, Colorado at 65, Minnesota at 64, and Arizona at 61. So is Chicago. Chicago with a nice late season surge. A lot of things can happen there. You got the St. Louis Blues, who by all accounts were about to hang things up. Then this Binnington kid comes in and starts rallying everybody. I think he's like 14-2 or something like that. Just insane. Insane. And he's doing so well. So maybe St. Louis wants to shore their lines up a little bit. But I think we're going to see some exciting action. I think you're going to see Simmons move. Eugene Melnyk is a nut bar, so I don't know if Stone goes or not or gets re-signed. Panarin, I'll put on that list too. Like, if there's a player that I don't want the Islanders to get, it's Artemi Panarin, which is kind of ironic because when all this trade rumor stuff started at the beginning of the year, they said he wanted to go to a big city where his mom doesn't have a modeling girlfriend or wife or something, you know, could go out to auditions and get gigs. The Rangers certainly don't make sense for him unless they want to build long-term around him, which then it makes sense. But if I'm the New York Rangers, again, Marian Gaborik, Rick Nash, I could lay out a long list of free agents that you guys scooped up here that never won you a championship, going all the way back to Jaromir Jagr. I would build a team from the ground up like you told your fans you were going to do. I wouldn't go out and add Artemi Panarin. I know how crazy that sounds, but I just wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. Would I add a salt of the earth guy like Wayne Simmons to my mix? You know, that I would be more inclined to do if I were the Rangers, but I don't know if he would be inclined to come into a team that's going to be trying to finish off their rebuild for the next 3 years. That's my feeling on that. But Panarin to the Islanders, no, thank you. Absolutely not. Even though, like I said, it makes a lot of sense. Panarin to the Devils, sort of a similar situation, but I don't know how far along the Devils feel that they are. Although Panarin from Hall, that sounds like a goal scoring call if I've ever seen one. Let's hop into the questions. I had a bunch more to say, but we don't have a ton of time for tonight. So let's get into the questions. Aaron, what's Pittsburgh going to do? Great question. They've already tinkered with that lineup a little bit, right? Sending Hagelin out there. By the way, how crazy is it that Carl Hagelin's a Washington Capital now? It's a shame you can't put little you can't put things into the trades where you're like, you know, trade him to LA, but you can't trade him back to, you know, back to the East or back to the Capitals or something like that. But Hagelin to the Caps, I love that. I love that deal. By the way, I watched a little bit of the Rangers Caps game right now. Holy cow, that was an exciting game. Really, really fun, exciting game. I love Hagelin's speed, and I think it works very, very well on that team. So you can't count the Washington Capitals out whatsoever because they're going to be a threat for sure, for sure. Pittsburgh Penguins, was that where we were at? Like Matt Murray, right? Back in the mix now. Feels like he's okay with the whole concussion thing. We still have Tristan Jarry there, I think, right? I don't foresee a Penguins Flyers deal anytime soon. So let's back off of that as far as the Simmons speculation goes. I know that they have some salary cap issues, right? Can we bring up the Pens on the cap? I know that they can't have too much space there. Let's take a look at the let's bring up the Caps here. Let's bring up the Pens rather on the cap. Take a look and see what they got. Look at that cap space, $493,000. I mean, am I right or am I right? Can we go out and spend if we're in Pittsburgh or what? Love it. $493,000, which tells me that they need to pull off a move similar to what they did last year with Reeves, trading him to a team, absorbing some salary, and then trading him right out again. Look at the Pittsburgh Penguins. I mean, what can you do? You added Nick Bjugstad, so that to me was your trade deadline acquisition. Unless you're going to move some of these, you know, smaller guys for another small deal, I don't think that the Pens wind up doing anything. Do they, right? Is Tristan Jarry not even there anymore? Who are they going with? Casey DeSmith? That's crazy. Again, Penguins fans. I feel like I've been saying this for a long time. Malkin, Crosby, Kessel, Hornquist, Letang, Schultz, Murray. I don't think you really need to do much. I really don't think you need to do much. Let's see here. Zach, first time listener, what's your take on the trade situation in Colorado? What do you mean? I need you to clarify that. I mean the fact that they bamboozled Ottawa out of taking Matt Duchene and grabbing a first pick and looking pretty damn good these days? Is that what you're referring to? Friggin' Colorado. I mean, when I first saw that deal, I did not think that they'd be coming out of that looking so good. Colorado, 65 points, second wild card in the West right now. The only thing that worries me about Colorado was that little scuttlebutt that happened a couple of weeks ago with, what's his name, was it McKinnon? When McKinnon kind of lost his head on the bench, screaming at the coaching staff and everything like that. And I think Landeskog had to calm him, or it was vice versa. I think it was McKinnon who was upset and Landeskog who had to calm him down. I like Colorado. Colorado surprised us last year. Nobody thought that Colorado was going to come back and be as good as they are this year. They're similar to the Devils story, except the Devils sort of fizzled out this year. They didn't have the same second year. And if Colorado misses this time around, you know what? Who cares? Because they have that pick from the Duchene deal. And by the way, speaking of Duchene, like, you got to be flying high if you're Columbus because you're adding, especially if you're going to lose Panarin. But I see Matt Duchene as an absolute cancer in the locker rooms these days. Let's not forget, he was in that car, the Uber car, when he was talking shit about his coaching staff, right? He was there for that. He was awful and got chased out of Colorado and caused all that disturbance. And as soon as they got rid of him, Colorado takes off. Like, I know he's a nice kid and all, but cancer. Absolute locker room cancer. And then I got to sit here and look at, you know, Islander fans go, you think we should get Duchene? Like, no. Absolutely not. The Islanders, like, dreaming about picking up Matt Duchene is like somebody going, you think we should buy that house next to those high-powered power lines? No. There's no reason for that. Don't live next to power lines. Not good. Not good at all. Um, You know who I love on Colorado? Mikko Rantanen. I like that kid. He's going to be all right. He is going to be A-okay. Grubauer and Varlamov have been pulling it off, right? That McKinnon, Landeskog, Soderberg, you know, they're doing their thing. Are they still together? I feel like I'm rusty. I can't find my daily face-off line combinations. Oh, here it is. Let me see here. Colorado Avalanche. McKinnon, Rantanen, and Kerfoot are together. Landeskog, Soderberg. And Compher, Calvert, Jost. Tyson Jost is good, too. Like him a lot. I like him a whole lot. See, that's the thing. I love everybody who gets excited about their teams and everything like that. But, you know, some of these teams are built and good. Okay, Zach, do you think they'll boost their D situation? And yes, it was McKinnon blowing up, looking bad on us. Yeah, that was not good. That was really, really not good. Do I think their D could use a little bit of a boost? I guess so. The thing that sucks, if you look at all the players that are rumored to be available, you have practically none of them that are defensemen. I mean, Adam McQuaid right now is the most sought-after trade deadline acquisition, and nothing against Adam McQuaid, but it's Adam McQuaid, right? I mean, Dougie Hamilton is interesting, but again, kind of a locker room cancer. He's got 2 years left on his deal, so you're going to have to give up a significant amount for him. Him in Carolina did not work out really well. He got chased out of... Well, let's take a look at this now, right? Because Hamilton started in Boston, went to Calgary. It didn't work there. Down to Carolina. It didn't work there. Again, like how... Yeah, the guy's truly talented, but how much does he really come through? I mean, there's really not much there defenseman-wise. Until, I guess, Cody Ceci and Alec Martinez, if we're going to see Ottawa and the Kings make a move there. Martinez has 2 more years left on his deal. Cody Ceci is a restricted free agent after this. So, slim pickings if you're looking for defensive help in the trade deadline. I guess so. I mean, I guess if you want to go out and make those moves, but who do you give up and who comes off of your D pairings? If you're the Colorado Avalanche right now, like Tyson Barrie is the man. Eric Johnson, I watched him play a couple of weeks ago against the Islanders. He had one hell of a wrist shot. I think even he was a little bit of a surprise, but still, the guy's got talent still. Sam Girard's been good. Graves has been all right, you know. Again, if you want to swap out third pairing defenseman and bring in Adam McQuaid, you know, sure, why not? Knock yourselves out. Let's see here. Ben Lovejoy is in Dallas right now. Talk about one of the quieter, sneaky trades that happened. I think that was like late last night. Everybody was kind of like focused on the Dzingel thing and the Zuccarello thing. But yeah, Ben Lovejoy to the Stars for Connor Carrick and a third round pick. Devils making a nice little move there, picking up a third round pick. By the way, I mean, you got to, you know, as awful as a general manager as Pierre Dorion is, he scooped up some pretty good picks, some really, really good picks. And he's sitting there, fingers crossed, that the Rangers, Dzingel gets signed, right? Because I think that those picks move around if he gets signed. And speaking of guys who get banged around constantly, how about Anthony Duclair, right? From the Rangers to Phoenix to Columbus to now he's an Ottawa Senator. It's like at some point you got to pull the plug on some of these guys and realize that they're not seeing the full potential as what they really are. Aaron with a great question. What's Vegas going to do? That is a damn good question. Vegas is super interesting to me because they shifted some things around. I would have never let James Neal go if I was Vegas. It seemed like he just didn't want to be there because it was almost a foregone conclusion that he wasn't going to resign. By the way, how friggin' good does he look in Calgary right now? They look like geniuses over there in Calgary. The Vegas Golden Knights, let's bring them up on the screen here so we can take a look at their cap situation. I'm pretty sure they have a ton of space Sitting there with almost $4 million worth of space right now if you're the Vegas Golden Knights. And not the magical year that they had last year. Nobody really expected them to have that again. But they're in a playoff hunt, right? I think they're in the wild card spot right now, or they're in the third spot. They're in the third spot in the Pacific at 69 points. So they got a couple of teams nipping at their heels. $4 million in cap space, right? That Carlson, Smith, Marchessault line still doing good. Stastny's done well. Pacioretty not really even playing with him anymore. So you got some maybe mid-six scoring that you'd want to pick up, although I think Alex Tuch is having one hell of a year. I believe he's leading them in scoring. Let's bring that up so we're not selling you guys snake oil here. Alex Tuch has 16 goals, 27 assists, 43 points. Just over Marchessault's 42 points. So, yeah, he's leading the team in scoring right now. Third line scoring, not great. Pacioretty, not great. Again, you got to give these guys a little bit of a break. Their first year being there, I think he'll rebound. But he does have 18 goals, just not a ton of assists for Pacioretty. Simmons makes a lot of sense there for me. Be honest with you, a little grit, a little bit of secondary scoring, second power play unit. That makes a lot of sense for me. Although I feel like the rumblings and the rumors right now, like all signs sort of point to Erik Karlsson's been there for a whole year. The rumor was he was always going to Vegas. They couldn't make the deal. He goes to the Sharks. He's there a year. No sign. It kind of feels like as soon as he's able to, he's going to be wearing a Vegas jersey come the offseason. So we'll got to wait and see on that one, too. You don't want to go out and pull in a rental, especially when, let's not forget, there's not a ton of assets there for the Vegas Golden Knights. It's not like they're sitting there with the last 10 years of prospects under their belt. They've only been in two drafts, you know, so there's not a ton of prospect pools there for Vegas. I don't see them being all that active, but maybe Simmons. Maybe Simmons. Let's see. John, how you doing, man? Simmons, big presence in front of the net, won't get pushed around, and won't let his teammates get pushed around. Very vital in playoff hockey. Totally agree. That's why I think he shoots to the top of the list over Stone for availability, especially, again, because Eugene Melnyk's not there to meddle around and screw that stuff up. Liz, as much as I'd love to see Simmons with the New York Rangers, I don't think they would do that. He would be a great add for toughness that they lack, that the coach is desperately looking for, but I don't see it. Now, what is this that Lundqvist was crying in the game? He could barely talk about Zuccarello going? That's sad. Let me throw this question out there. Let's talk about this for a second. How long does Henrik Lundqvist have in a New York Rangers jersey? Because we talked about this last season, and he did the noble thing of, like, I want to be here. I'm going to be here through the rebuild. This is my team. And everybody made fun of me when I was like, you should trade Henrik Lundqvist. They should have traded him last year before the season started. We all knew this team was going down this path. They were a former shell of themselves. They were sticking Band-Aids on themselves. It wasn't there. Lundqvist, massive. I can't even when you look at what Matt Duchene pulled back for the Colorado Avalanche, could you imagine what you could have gotten for Henrik Lundqvist prior to last season? I mean, at least two picks, at least two first-round picks, at least, from a team that was desperate to get a goaltender. Craziness. I said it last year. Should have traded Henrik Lundqvist when you had the chance to get the biggest return. What happened? The Rangers tank. Now they're into this rebuild that they're committed to. Nash goes this season. It's Zuccarello who goes. McDonough went last year, too. So all the Lundqvist buddies are going, and he's still there being the great player that he is. It's a great play. I'm going to be here. This is my place. This is my home. I want to know how Henrik Lundqvist feels about that now after a year of losing, because I just watched the game this afternoon, and he kept him in it for as long as he could, but this is a young team with practically nothing available. Mika Zibanejad is the only thing you have to write home about. Kevin Hayes is a free agent next year. He probably goes tomorrow. Chris Kreider is enigmatic at best with a no-trade clause. Vladdy Nemenstikov does not get me excited. I mean, you have Ryan Strom, for Christ's sake, in your top six. You can't be taken seriously. I'm sorry. I hate to sound harsh here, but it's just it's not a team that is ready to go in the next year or possibly two. And I want to know how Henrik Lundqvist feels now after going through it for a whole season versus last year when it was a lot easier to say, I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to be here for this team. 2 years at 8.5 after this, the Rangers could obviously eat up some of that salary if they needed to. Although, stupidly, they retain Matt Zuccarello's salary, but that's for this year, so that comes off the books. So Spooner for next year, which means that they definitely have room to retain more salary. I think in the offseason, if you're smart, and if you're a Ranger fan that puts your heart away for a second and uses your brain, which is hard to do as a fan because we're fans, you got to say to yourself, trade Henrik, send him to a team that's desperate for a goaltender, and let's get this rebuild going. Let's get a goalie that, and by the way, Gorgiev, not bad, a lot of potential, super young, 23, can grow with this team, maybe get better. Maybe you make a move somewhere else down the line. Who knows? Liz Graypoint, you know, his bestie is gone. He's still got a little left in the tank. Look at him. By the way, look at the difference between Henrik Lundqvist in a Ranger sweater all year long and him at the All-Star game, especially during that skills competition. Just take a look at that. I know you're thinking it's a skills competition and blah, blah, blah. He was reinvigorated at that NHL skills competition. Reinvigorated. He looked awesome. Awesome. I mean, the excitement on his face, you didn't see that from him most of the year with the Rangers. And there you go. Now the bestie's gone. And it's like, what's the point? Other than the fact that the guy is Mr. Ranger through and through, the fashion, Manhattan, all that stuff. All that stuff. I get it. I would, if I'm making my money and I'm playing where I want to play, so what? I don't get a cup. Who cares? Maybe another year here and maybe he can sit through it. Maybe he wants to. I don't know. But I know that you can pull in a ton. Like, how desperate would the stupid Edmonton Oilers be for a Henrik Lundqvist? How much would he change the face of that franchise? Now, I know they just devoted a whole bunch to Mikko Koskinen. It was $4 million or something like that. Crazy. So, you know, putting $12 million in your goaltending would be really dumb, but it's Edmonton. And they don't even have a general manager. So, you know, that's a stretch. But even, like, you look at St. Louis. Before Binnington caught fire, before this kid caught fire, how desperate were they for a goaltender? What would they have paid for a Henrik Lundqvist? Like, there are some teams that need that goalie relief. And by the way, look at Binnington and St. Louis as an example of what a kind of team you are with a hot goaltender and not. Use the Islanders as another example. The Islanders, I don't know how good they are if Robin Lehner and, Thomas Greiss aren't standing on their head night in and night out. They're playing really well as a team right now, but for a lot of those games, they were getting backed up super well in net. And that sort of propelled their play a little bit. So, that's that. Mikey, my lowdown on the Islanders is stand pat and don't do a damn thing. And by the way, to go back to the Islanders for a second, let's finish up this thing on Lundqvist. Even right now, you're at least a pick, a golden prospect, and a couple of other seconds and whatever. You could maybe still swing two ones for Henrik. That's really the top end of what I think a general manager would pay. But you can pull in a first, a high-end prospect, and a second and a couple other good prospects if you want for Henrik Lundqvist. And when I look up and down that Ranger lineup again, VC, soft, Kreider, soft, Strom, soft. Like, it's just a soft team. It's not an exciting team. Simmons would be great. I don't know if he would sit through a couple years of losing. The lowdown on the Islanders. If you're the New York Islanders, what do you give up if you see the prices, this is just for rentals. Now, if you can pull in a Mark Stone and sign him, great, I will shut up. But if we're talking about a rental here, do you want to give up Joshua Hosang? Because let me tell you how this conversation goes. Working for an NHL team, let me tell you how this conversation goes. Any general manager calls up Lou Lamoriello, or Lou calls up any general manager for a player. What would you like off my roster? The first thing out of their mouth is going to be Pulak, Devon Toews, Joshua Hosang. That's it. Do you want to give that up? Because Pulak and Toews aren't going anywhere. And you're now going to have to make these deals without including one of those two players. Adam Pellick is nice, but he's not going to get it done. General managers aren't knocking down your door for Adam Pellick. They might not even be knocking down the door for Joshua Hosang anymore. Because if you can't get along in a Lou Lamoriello, Barry Trotz system, then I'm sorry. Last year, I defended Joshua Hosang. This year, I have no excuse. This year, there's no reason to defend him. Let's see here. And by the way, if you're putting a gun to my head, Simmons is going to be my answer for the Islanders and every other team that has a spot to add. Simmons is going to be my answer because he's the best. 20, 25, 30 goal scorer every year, plays defense, second power play unit, in front of the net, everything else. He's the absolute best available commodity. And now we know, again, according to John Shannon and other league sources, he ain't coming back. He ain't coming back. I will make a prediction in a future episode on who I think is going to go through in the playoffs, but I think that there is one team that is absolutely going to win the cup, no doubt about it, and I don't know if anybody even comes close, which kind of makes me scratch my head at what the Columbus Blue Jackets are doing, because they're loading up like crazy with Dzingel and Duchesne, and I look at their team and I go, you're still not better than Tampa. You're still not better than Nashville. Like you may not even be able to beat Pittsburgh coming out of the East. And again, how this all kind of lines up, we really don't know. But I mean, they made some good moves, and I get Kekalainen's, you know, thought of like, well, if I lose Bobrovsky and if I lose Panarin, I got to have these assets here. I get taking a shot at it, but you know, again, you're not as good as some of the really good teams that are in this league right now. And there are some super elite teams in this league right now. I mean, Tampa's got 98 points. Tampa's lost 11 games this year. Boston is cruising. By the way, let me upset the Toronto Maple Leafs fans here who were so excited to get John Tavares when I said, I don't see it. I'm not going to argue with pulling into John Tavares. This is not a sour former Islander employee talking to you here. But when you pull in John Tavares and you let James Van Riemsdyk walk out the door, your point exchange there is minimal. And he's a better player than Van Riemsdyk all around. Much sweetheart of a guy. But you haven't fixed your defensive problems whatsoever. And now you're in a position where you might be facing Boston in a first-round series. I mean, the Bruins look great. They look great. That's a seven-game series if I've ever seen one, and you might as well flip a coin on who's going to win Game 7. Those teams are so similarly matched. I would give the edge to Boston, and I feel like that's how I feel right now. If you asked me, I would say Boston in 7, just like last year. Toronto is great. They're jacked. But they've slid through the middle of this year. They haven't been playing nearly as well as they were off at the beginning of the year. Everybody's getting a little too comfortable with each other in that room. The rumblings all over the place is that Babcock can't manage the lines. Everybody has a problem with who he's playing with who. So I'm not loving the Toronto Maple Leafs going into the playoffs, especially if they're playing the team with the big B on their chest. Not going to be good. Not whatsoever. Jeff Skinner is an interesting one. I don't know what the hell is going on down there in Carolina, other than the fact that they've put a real strong effort in their post-game celebrations. I don't know what is happening with the Carolina Hurricanes. I only wish that they would put as much thought into their power play as they do on what their end of the game celebration is going to be. Yeah, I'm not going to go as far as to pull a Don Cherry here and call them jerks, because if it works in that market and everybody loves it, then good. Go with God. Do the baseball thing and do the limbo thing until you're blue in the face. But let's maybe spend 5 minutes less on what our celebration is going to be that night and 5 more minutes on can we get our god-awful power play going? Because that seems to make a lot more sense to me. Although they're completely off the rails down there in Carolina, because from what I understand, Tom Dundon, their owner, just went ahead and bought that entire alternate football league, the AAF or whatever it was. I think he just literally wrote a check for $250 million so he would be the chairman of the AAF. So he just bought himself a fresh football league. So hopefully that'll be distracting enough that the hockey people can figure out what the hell to do with this Carolina Hurricane team, because they're in a whole bunch of trouble. Again, Dougie Hamilton available. That move didn't work. Kind of nothing they did really worked. Although you can't really say that's the case, because as I sit here right now, they are sitting there with 72 points in a playoff spot, even though they're tied with Pittsburgh. I have a hard time thinking that the Carolina Hurricanes are going to edge out the Pittsburgh Penguins, but that's not a lock by any stretch of the imagination. Who's to say that they won't be there? I did like the Nino Niederreiter move. That guy is a goal scorer, even though he is a gigantic pain in the ass. Huge pain in the ass. I feel like Nino was in the organization towards the end of when I was there. Maybe not. I feel like I was there for his draft, but I could be making that up. But I remember huge pain, huge, huge ego, a lot of attitude on the kid. Not a guy I want to have in my locker room. But I could see Carolina going out there and getting him. I thought that was a nice move. What do you do with Jeff Skinner in Buffalo? Again, the Sabres are out of it. Is he a free agent to come this year? Let me bring up Buffalo. I got so caught up on Jeff Skinner, and then I started thinking Carolina. Buffalo's got $3 million. Buffalo could add. Skinner's a UFA. Pominville's a UFA. Nobody's going to be interested in him, though. Zemgus Girgensons, a restricted free agent. I only bring that up as an excuse to say Zemgus Girgensons, because that's just fun to say. Hold on a second. Skinner's available, or could be available, but I get the feeling like Buffalo to me reminds me of any team that LeBron James is on. Like LeBron's the coach, the general manager, and I feel like Jack Eichel is the coach and the general manager, and I just get the feeling, and I could be completely wrong on this, I have absolutely nothing to base this on other than just pure feeling, that Eichel likes Skinner, likes having that sort of scorer there. By the way, they scooped him up. It was a steal to scoop him up. I mean, didn't really cost them much to grab him. It was a good deal on a part of the Sabres to go ahead and bring in a scorer like Jeff Skinner and free him from the Carolina Hurricanes. I don't know if you just go ahead and turn that around. Although, as it is with any player that hasn't committed to a team when they're available to, just like with Carlson, I got to sit there and think, well, why hasn't he resigned yet? You know, why haven't they got him? Why haven't they got his name on the line? He's got 36 goals. Jesus. Yeah. So he's done well with Eichel, who's got 19 goals and 47 assists. You could essentially flip-flop their stats. 36 goals and 19 assists for Skinner, 19 goals and 47 assists for Eichel. I knew there was a reason why I was saying what I just said, but I couldn't think of it. Vincent, why wouldn't Buffalo try to keep Skinner, though? Exactly. I mean, if I'm Buffalo, I'm going to be like, what do you want? My firstborn? I'll give you my firstborn and a whole bunch of money, because I'm sitting here with a whole bunch of money to give away. Like, Pominville's making 5-6. So that's at least $8 million available next year. If you really got a 30-goal scorer, you have no problem giving him $7 million to stay. He's making 5-7 now. It's not that bad of a raise. Although if you're Skinner, maybe the reason why you haven't signed yet is because you're like, I'm a 36 goal scorer and I can get paid probably on the free market and make upwards of $8.5 million to almost $9 million the way some of these deals are going lately. So we'll see what that turns out to be. All right, this was good. I feel good about this. Pre-deadline show. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll be back during the deadline, on deadline day. Deadline is at 3. I'm not sure what time we'll be on, but anywhere between 1 and 3 we'll start. And we'll break down the day, and we'll analyze, and we'll see. Let's give you some last-minute breaking news here. Darren Dreger reporting that Cody Ceci will be a healthy scratch. So will Mikhail Bodker for the Ottawa Senators. Multiple teams apparently quite interested in Cody Ceci. I would say, I mean, I know McQuaid's name has been batted around, but I think I would rather have Cody Ceci on my team than Adam McQuaid. At least Ceci you could put in a top four spot. McQuaid's a nice little, you know, top six acquisition. Juan, I'm glad to be back, my friend. I think we're going to get a lot of trades tomorrow. I think tomorrow is not going to be one of the boring trade deadlines. I think we're going to be super busy. And my apologies for not being around. Just a lot of side projects and things going on and wasn't able to really put my full attention into this. So had to throw it on the back burner, but we'll be around considerably from now until the end of the season. And like I said, we'll definitely be back tomorrow for a trade deadline show, because after these huge deals go on down, who you want to talk to? You want to talk to one another, right? That's the whole point of the hockey talk show. Let's see. Zuccarello said he got hit in the arm, not the knee. Doesn't know anything else. Said he'll see a doctor tomorrow or Tuesday for a better idea of a recovery plan. Thinks it's broken. That is heartbreaking if you're Jim Nill. I mean, you just go out and make an acquisition and he breaks his arm in the first game. Jesus, that sucks. That sucks big time. Any team that was into Zuccarello was probably into Gustav Nyquist, so look for the Dallas Stars to go poking around there. Let's see here. I got a list of players. I think Kevin Hayes goes. Look for Winnipeg and that sort of a deal. Again, some of these, you know, Kevin Hayes would make sense with the Islanders, again, in a third line spot, but I don't know if the Rangers and Islanders are ready to make a deal with each other yet. Mike Hoffman's been making a lot of news lately that he's available. Again, cancer. Who wants him and his fiance, girlfriend, wife, or whatever the hell that was that left Ottawa? The fact that he's even available just a short time after he just got to Florida makes me think no absolute way you want to have that sort of thing come into your locker room. I don't care how many goals it scores. Again, this is even more so with the New York Islanders. If I had to guess, if somebody was going to take a flyer on the Canadian, on the Hoffman situation, it would be the Canadians. Because, you know, why not put that whole drama in the middle of the biggest hockey market in the world? What else? Do we cover all the big names and teams and what they're going to do? Who else is out there? Stone, let's see. Nashville, let's talk about Nashville for a second. David Poile loves trade deadline deals. Loves them. Loves to make them. Picked up Boyle a couple weeks ago. That was a good snag. Apparently he was in on Duchesne. Panarin is still a possibility. I guess that's what people are saying. You got to watch the Nashville Predators. Deep all around, right? I don't know how much cap space they have. I'll check that for you quickly here before we go. But I know they got prospects. They always have prospects. Drafts his ass off, that David Poile. Knows how to run a damn draft, that's for sure. Let's see here. And they got $6.2 million in cap space, so practically nothing is holding them back from making moves. And the weird thing is, it never really seems to be a chemistry thing with the Predators. Like, they always have plenty of room to go in there. Forsberg, Johansson, Turris, Arvidsson. They have Bonino, and they went out and got Boyle. A little bit of duplicate there. Cali Yarncroc, I love a lot. Good young player. Let's see how his stats are this year. See if he's living up to the hype. 10 goals, 13 assists. Not great. Hartman's another guy who never really kind of turned out right. Kevin Fiala seems to be, and he's on his entry level. He's a restricted free agent next year. I keep hearing his name being batted around as a player that could maybe go the other way. 10 goals, 22 assists. Again, what was he, 23 goals last year? So a little bit of a fall off there on his contract year. Not a great scenario, but a team maybe want to pick a player like him up, see if they can't run with him a little bit. I just think Nashville is going to be active. Let me get to my list of the players that are available here. I guess you got to keep Nashville in on Stone, Simmons, Hayes. Any one of these guys would be great. Gustav Nyquist, I don't really foresee, but maybe. Maybe. Derek Brassard is said to be available. I just don't really see the appeal in him too much. He's a very overpaid third-line center. Artemi Panarin seems to make a lot of sense. But again, if I'm Columbus and I just made all these moves, I'd rather keep Panarin and lose him in the offseason for nothing. Especially if I know I can give his money to Matt Duchene and keep him, you know? Todd with a great question. What about the Ducks? A lot of turmoil, right? General manager steps behind the bench there. They're sitting at, what, 57 points? Let me see what their contract situations are. I feel like Getzlaf and Perry are still inked long-term. I think if you're the Ducks, the best case... Well, they have $51,000 in cap space, so that's, you know, that's good. It's pretty good. Can't even fit a Mercedes under that cap. Perry and Getzlaf are inked up. They're free agents 21-22, so the 21-22 season. They're not going anywhere. Kessler's inked up to the year after that. You have Adam Henrique under a long-term deal. I actually haven't looked at their line combinations. I want to take a peek at that right now. Yeah, the Ducks are in total rebuild mode. I mean, it's time to, again, the Ducks are where the Rangers were last year. Like, it's time. You know, it's time. Even if you can't unload Getzlaf and Perry, you can probably still move some of those other guys. I wonder what Raquel's stats are this year. 9 goals and 17 assists. That is not good. No, wait a second. Is this to the year? Can that be? Jesus. This team stinks. I wonder why the coach got fired. Kessler has 5 goals and 2 assists. Jesus. Can this be right? Feels like this can't be right. Let's see here. Anaheim Ducks stats. Let's look this up. Anaheim just got a whole bunch more interesting to me. I mean, it's not like you have any rentals there, right? Silverberg is a free agent. Getzlaf has 11 goals, 28 assists, still not great. 12 goals, 20 assists for Henrique. 9-17 for Raquel, 8-18 for Richie. Jesus, you don't even have a 20-goal score. Silverberg's got 16 goals, but only 8 assists. So he's a free agent. I could see him going. I haven't really heard his name much. I wonder why that is. Anaheim is trading everyone. Right? Overplayed players in the Duck. I think Fowler needs to go. Defense is the problem. I got to be honest with you, Todd. Seems like the team's the problem. Seems like you got a whole bunch of problems. Cam Fowler signed up till past 24, 25. So that's not going to be easy to move. And he's got a no-trade clause. Hampus Lindholm. I think, wasn't he injured for a bunch this year? Josh Manson, Brandon Montador, Michael Delzato. Well, Michael Delzato's in your top 6. That could be part of the problem, too. Josh Gibson's your guy. Boy, Josh Gibson is signed to a fairly friendly deal. 6.4 over the next bunch of years. Although he's hurt right now. Yeah, I mean, see, the thing is with these, like, you're looking at $24 million between Perry, Getzlaf, and Kessler. So you're at least a year or so away from being able to move those in a manageable way, because who's going to take any of those guys if they're, you know, if their production has gone down so much? And I mean, that's like an Arizona situation. Like, if Arizona needs to stay above the cap, or Ottawa needs to stay above the cap floor, like, those are the only teams that are going to take these guys, and you're going to have to give other assets to go along with it. Feels like a full rebuild if you're the Ducks. But they got to figure out who their coach is first. They got a lot of issues. I mean, they're like Edmonton. Like, you got to untie that knot. There's a lot in that. That's not a mess. That's a knot. The Edmonton Oilers are a knot of a situation. So we'll see here. Ryan Miller on the move. I will check out Brandon Montour. 15 is still there to build around. Is that Getzlaf? You think so? Think he's still got some in the tank? Feels like it was a lot of injuries, bad coach. Nobody liked that. What's his name?
Nobody liked him.
One of the hard-ass. You can't be a hard-ass coach anymore. Tortorella can get away with it, but that's because he tells, you know, the media his players shit in their pants. I mean, that's why there's a charm to him, you know? There's a charm to John Tortorella. But the days of the hard-ass coaches are gone. Are really, really gone. Didn't the Ducks re-sign Henrik? Didn't he just sign an extension? So it seems like he's going to be there for a while. Ricard Raquel is, again, one of those players that's, you know, you saw flashes of good in the playoffs over the last couple of years, but he's not putting the stats together now. All right, I think we got to leave it here. Let's see. Zuccarello arm broken. Any last minute things? Jim Neal confirms preliminary diagnosis on Matt Zuccarello injury. Will have the newest star out for 4 weeks. Upper body. Not great. Not great whatsoever. We'll leave it there. Pleasure talking hockey with you guys again. It is so nice to be back. Just a heads up, we may go to a scenario where we're streaming live on Facebook only and not YouTube. We'll just be uploading to YouTube after the fact. I haven't figured that out yet, but I'll let you know for sure. But we're still going to be available on all the normal podcasts. So if you missed any part of the show, you can go back and watch it. You can go and listen to it when you're driving to work tomorrow morning. Be here tomorrow for the trade deadline. Anytime between 1 and 3 o'clock, we'll start the show. I would imagine there being a ton of fireworks. Make sure you guys are following on our Facebook page, Twitter. We're also on Instagram. HockeyTalkShow.com has all the information on where you could find us. And we'll see you on the next shift. Pleasure being back. Hope you guys enjoy the show. Remember to share this on social. Tell some friends.